Welcome back to Radio 74. I'm Mario, the artist and rogue, your host. Today, we're talking about the National Endowment for the Arts. The reason I'm talking about this is because of the fact that our current administration that resides in the White House right now, the one we elected in there, number 45, not going to drop the name because I really don't even like saying his name without getting a little bit of bile in the back of my throat. Believe me, I've had some issues with this guy for many years. I can't even believe that he actually managed to make it president. But the fear was not so much on a personal level with this guy. Never mind the fact that I have a lot of moralistic issues with this fellow. You know, nobody's perfect. I'm far from it. I understand that. But I do tend to believe that you should hold someone to a higher regard when they end up elevated to the highest office in our nation, essentially, at least the most politically, you know, viewed one. He's essentially the figurehead for our country. He's the representative that other countries, other people will look to and say, well, that's America. That enough is, you know, everything I need to just have to go ask for a prescription for blood pressure medicine. Now I'm going to do something here. A lot of people probably don't understand what the National Endowment for the Arts does. And I'll be honest, I really didn't even understand what impact they had. I knew they were important. I'm an artist. I know this. I know that they touch all sorts of things in there. But they're just a small part of the issue that's at hand here. You see, the biggest issue that's happening right now is a lot of these other, as he's calling them, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here to some degree, I'm probably going to end up using bigger words than what he does. These are just programs that aren't really necessary. This is coming from the mind of a man that consistently misspells things on Twitter and just makes up words on the fly like bigly. Now, this, I'm not actively trying to pick on the guy. He does a really good job of just messing up on his own, and every president does. To be fair, you know, when you're in that position, you're going to get picked apart by all kinds of critics. I'm just one guy in the Midwest. I understand this, but I can still have an opinion about this. And I feel very strongly about the fact that he doesn't really get how important this stuff is. Now, he's going after things like Planned Parenthood and all this other stuff, getting them defunded. Man, I'm just telling you, we're heading toward a society that may end up with a whole hell of a lot of issues far deeper than what we understand. The one that I can probably align myself the closest to, at least the one that I'm the most knowledgeable in, is the aspect of the National Endowment for the Arts. But I did some research. I checked out a bunch of websites. I went and checked out their official website. But the best thing I can do is tell you, check out the Wikipedia page for a start. Please do. In fact, I'll even read some of the information off there, because that's probably, in today's society, we want things just kind of, you know, just handed to us really quickly in a snap fest. We want these little bits of information. We want somebody to basically make a video or maybe make a podcast for us so that we can understand what's going on. I'm not calling us stupid. I'm not. I just understand that the way that information is served up is changing. It's faster. It needs to be. Why? Because, as I've often rallied against before, we tend to take pride in the fact that we are so busy that we're too busy to do the things that are really important in life, which is, I don't know, living life and or doing our own jobs. I've worked enough corporate places to know how that goes down. Anyway, getting back to this whole thing with the National Endowment for the Arts on Wikipedia, I've pulled it up here on my phone. And right off the bat, this is something that was formed back in 1965. So it's got some history, okay? And the annual budget currently is $146,200,000. That's peanuts. That won't even pay for a jet fighter. It really won't, okay? And the biggest annual budget always goes to the military. Now, mind you, I'm not coming down on the military. I'm not. Really not. Why? Because I'm from a military family. My father was in the Air Force for 28 and a half years. My great uncle was actually also a veteran of the Army. He fought in the Korean War, my father having fought in the Vietnam War. My sister and my brother-in-law are also veterans. I have quite a few members of my family who have been in the military. I lived in a military housing area for many, many years. I can actually credit having gone overseas to Aviano Air Force Base because of the military. I don't hate the military. I love it. I have a lot of respect for it. When I worked security at Power and Light, I used to let in every single veteran that had their military card in for free. Why? Because I feel that if you're going to go out there, and I don't care if you're a pencil pusher or if you're out on the front lines or what you're doing, The fact that you have consigned yourself to a career in the military, sure, that comes with its benefits, but it also comes with its hazards, its dangers, and its time out of your existence. All very positive and negative things. They can be. So my point is, I'm not dogging on that, but I want to make this very clear. There's a lot of these programs, and here's something. This is going to kind of turn into a little bit of a rant about Trump. One of the things that was overlooked was the fact that when he was first inaugurated, he wanted to have a bunch of people, okay, look into this for him, where he wanted to have, and this, and now this was shot down. I mean, I think Spicer and some of those other people early on, and I forget exactly who was involved with this platform early on. I'm pretty sure Mr. Spicy Spicer was there, but early on, there was a, I could say maybe an unfounded rumor or something, maybe some early leaks from White House aides, not really sure. He was upset that they couldn't do a military sort of, you know, display for him, a la, I don't know, some sort of North Korean dictatorship style parade. Now, what it comes down to is, who the hell really wants to have that kind of shit as a president? I mean, how fucking fragile is your ego if you have to have that kind of thing going on? Like, no president has ever had that. They've had parades. They've had, you know, jets fly over. Sure, get it. I totally understand that. But for something like this to even kind of pop out, back then I started thinking to myself, there's probably going to be some issues, and this is not exactly the kind of guy that's going to end up, you know, everybody's friend and or, you know, want to think the best about what's better for other people that are underneath him. This is a guy that everything he wants and has is gilded in gold. I'm surprised that his wife has not been dipped in gold. Okay? And the thing is, he's not the kind of person that's going to understand something as simple and absolutely necessary as the National Endowment for the Arts. You see, okay, going back to the Wikipedia page here, okay? And the website is arts.gov. Now, it right off the bat says, the National Endowment for the Arts is an independent agency of the United States federal government that offers support and funding for projects exhibiting artistic excellence. It was created by an act of the U.S. Congress in 1965 as an independent agency of the federal government. The NEA has its offices in Washington, D.C. It was awarded the Tony Honors for Excellence in Theater in 1995, as well as the Special Tony in 2016. In March of 2017, a proposal to eliminate all federal funding for the program was put forward by the Trump administration. Now, the thing is, in its history, it's made over, I know it's like 120,000 grants. It's probably listed. Yeah, 128,000 grants, totaling more than $5 billion. From the mid-1980s to the mid-1990s. Okay, Congress granted the NEA an annual funding of between 160 to 180 million. In 1965, Congress cut the NEA funding to 99.5 million as a result of pressure from the conservative groups, including the American Family Association, who criticizes the agency for using tax dollars to fund highly controversial artists such as, and, you know, there's a shitload of artists on here. The point is, I understand that, okay? I get that. There's some people that I'm like, you're not a fucking artist, but that's just me. Art is one of those things. I used to think that even about pop art. I used to look at a lot of the stuff that, like, maybe, you know, oh, I don't know, Jackson Pollock would even do early on. You know, now I'm a fan. I understand his work ethic, and I'm very similar in how his creative, I understand how his creative passion worked, and I have a greater appreciation for his work. But early on, I was like, what the hell is this shit? And I can understand there's a lot of people out there like that. The thing is that art is one of those things that everybody has a different view on. Everybody has a misunderstanding of what it is. I've gone over this before in previous podcasts and other, you know, videos I've done and stuff. And I probably told the story, but I apologize if I have. I need to put this into perspective. And granted, this isn't directly connected to the National Endowments for the Arts, but it is something where people need to realize art is everywhere. I'm standing right here in my studio, okay? Somebody took the time to design this microphone that I'm on. Some engineer, some concept artist came up with the form, the look, the ideology behind it, how it's going to work. No different than the software that's recording. I wouldn't call that necessarily art. Some people would. I know that there's an art to programming, but the graphic user interface on it. All of that sort of stuff is exactly what I'm talking about. Now, let's go even further. Somebody chose the color hues and the concepts behind the paint on my wall, the artwork that's hanging, the books, the games over there, both video and board. All of the books have layout artists, writers, poets, authors. I don't care how many words you throw at it. A lot of the high-end models and toys and other things like that I've got around here. The guitar, so a lot of my musical instruments. This Rubik's Cube. This is all designed by people in the arts. We don't know their histories. I don't. Not most of them, anyway. But I can tell you this. Without awareness for what art does for us, on a day-to-day level, whether you're at the goddamn grocery store and you came in and you realized, oh, there's a sale going on today. Guess what? Graphic designer made that sign. You go in. Oh, there's a sale on Campbell's soup. Wow, this is kind of cool. There's advertising. There's information. There's layout involved in that goddamn Campbell's soup. When you go and you check out, you might end up using a kiosk that more and more, Walmart especially, you're finding these things, and there's nobody there. So you're going to interface with something that has a graphic user interface, no different than what's on your iPad or on your Android tablet or your phone. These are all designed and created by artists. Every one of them. Now, I'm going to leave a challenge for you guys to go ahead and go check out the National Endowments for the Arts. I certainly the hell am, because I want to know what we're losing. I mean, for years, I could tell you like a lot of different animals that we've lost to conservation and things like that. That was something that was near and dear to my heart. Probably more so in some ways than like understanding a lot about art, because I figured as long as I was happy and drawing and that sort of thing, I figured that stuff like the National Endowments for the Arts would always be around. And I never really relied on them. But I know there's other artists, other creators that do. And it's vital. It's important. You look at history. The reason we have history, the reason we have half of the history that we do have, is because of the fact that people created things. Now, granted, many of them have been lost to the ages. But I dare you, go to any museum. What are you looking at? You're looking at art. I don't care if you're looking at the suit of armor. Okay, let's use the Nelson Atkins Museum as a really good example. You can go in. Go to my favorite section. It's in the heart of the museum. And it's the Milanese armor. That is gorgeous. It is an impeccable suit of armor. The shield is even with it. Now, for those of you out there that are doing armor, you understand how hard and how incredibly unbelievable that is, that whole goddamn suit actually survived this long together. Now, that's artwork. The concept behind it, the study behind it, all of that involves things that the National Endowments for the Arts stands for. You can go to another area and find out about Chinese or Japanese art. You can go find out about modern art. You can go look at the ancient Egyptian stuff. But all of it is either illustrated, carved, created, poured, you know, hammered together, mined, you know, molded. So many hands have created and touched these things. And we stand here, and I'm not saying that there aren't people taking up the fight. I'm not saying there aren't people like me trying to get some kind of social awareness. And I don't have a whole hell of a lot of listeners, but I'm hoping that you guys will share at least this one and maybe hand it out, you know, send this link out and talk to people and tell them, hey, be aware, understand that, you know, maybe you don't do art. Maybe you don't need to have the money to, you know, buy art supplies or get a theater production off the ground, or looking for grants to get other creative outlets and facets finished. Maybe you're not that person, but your kids might be. Your grandparents might be. Your parents might be. Whatever. Somebody related to you might be. It might be a friend. It might be other people that you have yet to meet whose lives are intertwined with yours in a way you don't know. And here's an example. If I go to see a theater production, I love that. Now, I love my movies. I do. I'll see a Marvel movie. I'll go see an independent movie. And that is phenomenal. The amount of work that goes into those films, insane. Absolutely insane. And most people don't even think about that. Same for video games. The same for putting together any kind of stuff like that. Anything interactive. There's an ass load of work you guys really probably don't even understand goes into that. But theater is something else. You see, I used to do I used to, way back in the day, and I say used to because I only did it one time, my ill-fated moment at doing stand-up comedy. Here's the thing. In theater, you're performing live every night. You're putting everything you have into it. You are exposing yourself raw on that stage. If you're good, you've entertained everyone. You've held their attention. You've magnetized them into going somewhere else, leaving this planet and, you know, essentially entering that world on that stage. And I have seen some powerful statements, some powerful messages, and some incredible entertainment because of that. And I know that there's a great many people out there that probably don't give two rats' asses about that. That's great. But you don't know that you won't go someday, and maybe not unlike how my first experience was. I had always been interested in theater, but I remember going to a play, a small play. It was a local play here in Kansas City many, many years ago. This is back in like 1990. And when I went, I was really blown away by the fact that my entire concept of what theater was kind of completely rearranged itself. But not just that. The weird thing is, you know, it was just a small production of Oklahoma. And I remember that there were moments in there watching the characters play out their bits, how this was something that was outside of my normal milieu. I mean, although I love performing and I do stuff like this, theater in general is fairly outside of my wheelhouse. And the biggest thing that I got from it was how much of an impact it made me. It made me feel better. I was having some issues at the time, like, you know, any kid probably would. But I remember thinking to myself, this is pretty goddamn cool. And it made me laugh. And it made me think. And it was just a theater production. Just a theater production. Now imagine that that's what a lot of people think. It's just a photograph. That's just a painting. Now don't get me wrong. I do a lot of shows, you know, and, well, not as many as some of my more prolific colleagues do, but I do quite a few shows in the area. And there is a weird sentiment that happens whenever people will come to you and they'll talk to you about your artwork. Sometimes you get a pretty cool reaction. Some people, you know, that's their cup of tea. Some people not. Now, that's more aesthetics. You know, some people might go, I'm not really into this guy's artwork, or there's no characters I really recognize, or whatever the case might be. Sure. What I don't like is when there's almost a willful ignorance of what it takes to do art. You see, a lot of people don't realize that when you go and do a show, I don't have an assistant. I'm setting up my stuff by myself. I'm putting up the walls. I've taken the time to engineer how things work, how they look, all of that. I've designed my tablecloth. I've put all my stuff together and use third parties in some cases to like get these things created and made for me. This is true, and or purchased and bought. Sure. That's tools of the trade. That's how it works. But that's how that is. I mean, when I go there, there's an empty ass table. And that's part of the reason why I started working on this documentary that I'm working on, that I'm hoping comes to complete fruition at the end of the year, is that the people start to get an idea. It's like they go in and, dude, you had to be making artwork all this time. You had to have some sort of concept for how you're going to present and essentially become a pop-up retail store for people to interact with. Now, I know that I've probably gone off a little bit, probably quite a bit, from the National Endowment for the Arts. Man, I tend to completely go off track on these things. They end up turning into so much of a rant. But just, I challenge you guys, please, go check out the website for the National Endowment for the Arts. Think about the people that you know, the creative ones. Think about the people yet unborn in your family. Maybe you know somebody who's pregnant, you know, and they have a child, you know, or maybe they have a child that's young. If they're showing any kind of artistic ability, programs like this that are provided by the National Endowments for the Arts are going to become scarce. There's already a lot that is starting to go away. The only people that can make the difference in changing this, we'd like to think, are sitting up in gilded offices far away from us in Capitol Hill. But they're not. They're you and me. The voters, the non-voters, the people still fighting the good fight, the people who are still ignorant about what we're about to lose. I will not call my fellow, my fellow voters stupid. They're not. No. If you voted for Trump, no, not at all. I'm not calling you stupid. No, never would. Why? I got no beef with you. You were doing what you thought was best in most circumstances. I understand that just like there's people that will be considered the far, far elite right that voted for Trump and want to see the world burn in the shape of a swastika, I also understand that there's extreme lefts that want shit for free, don't want to do anything, and would love to live for free and just exist. I get that. When it comes down to it, we have to make the decision. How important is art in our lives? What does it mean to us? How much can we educate ourselves? Me personally, I didn't know enough about the National Endowment for the Arts, but I sure as hell am going to now. Because if we have to face a world where we don't have that, I'm certain it's going to be pretty shitty. I'm not saying that artists are going to go out of work. I'm not saying anything along that line. I am saying that more and more people will probably not have the appreciation for the arts that is needed. The arts won't get the funding that they need to imbibe people with this created facet. That is a hell of a loss. Now, historically, art can also be used as propaganda. It can be used in a lot of other ways that are damaging. Sure, it's art. It's just like writing. It's just like anything else. But it can be just as powerful in resisting. It can be just as powerful in growing. It can be just as powerful in creating. That's what I'm hoping happens. That's what I'm hoping that anybody that follows me will understand that I'm trying to do. I'm simply trying to get people to understand that art education is something that is needed, that the expression of art is something that is needed. I don't agree with a lot of art that is out there. Nobody's going to. You're never going to walk into a museum and love everything you find there. Not really. You have to be a special kind of open-minded person to do that. And I'm willing to admit, I'm not that open-minded. There's a lot of stuff that I'm like, what the hell is this? Who painted a black square over a purple background and got $1 million for this? You know, to me, that's not art. But art is subjective. So you have that. Thank you again for listening. If you want, check me out on www.theartisanrogue.com. You can also catch me on Twitter at @theartisanrogue, which is the exact same handle. You can find me on Patreon if you choose to support my endeavors on there and keep me talking on the microphone, creating videos and illustrations. I'm just getting geared up. I would love some kind of support so that way I can keep on doing this stuff full time. This is scary as hell, guys, because 2017 is now turning into the year that I am very much doing freelance and my own stuff like crazy, and it's just been it's just scary, but that's okay, because it's going to keep me on my toes and it's going to keep me moving. So with that, thank you again for listening. I'm Mario the Artisan Rogue, and I'll see you next time.